Welcome to Tea Time, the podcast. I am Cassie Marina, fondly known as the Branding Queen, and I am a digital branding strategist and coach helping businesses get online and thrive doing so. I am passionate about sharing my knowledge through content creation like this podcast, online trainings, and VIP intensive experiences. Think of this podcast as the place to get the latest advice, strategies, tips, news, and inspiration on building your brand online, using the tools available to us, but most importantly, through thought-provoking content to improve your mindset, to maximize on these tools, and to put context to day-to-day developments in the online world of business. With a little bit of tea, dishing facts and sass, because I really want you to thrive. Now let's dive in into today's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Tea Time, the podcast with Cassie Marina. Welcome back, welcome back. And if you're listening to this for the first time, I'm really happy to have you here. So, on this episode, I'm not going to lie, it's really special to me because I'm really honored to have had the opportunity to have Miss Krista Forbes. You can find her on Instagram at Miss Krista Forbes, literally, but it's M-S Krista Forbes, not M-I-S-S, all right? So again, it's M-S Krista Forbes. All of her details are in the show notes. And the reason why I'm so happy to have her on this episode because, well, one, I'm excited about the content and the things that we discussed. I feel like this conversation is super important for everyone. Anybody who is trying to reach someone who is not in their local area, whether they might live in a state that doesn't have their target market, you might live in the Caribbean and you want to reach other Caribbean people, and of course you want to reach outside of the region as well. And you know, everybody has their reasons why their business, they know in order for their vision to be realized that they can't just only focus on the local market. And that is the beauty of online. That is the beauty of the digital age, because regardless of what's going on in your hometown, city, and that local economy, you really are putting all of your eggs in just one basket and really limiting your potential, right? Now, this is not to say that it is going to be easy, but we definitely really need to, more than ever now in the world today, due to coronavirus, due to so many different things, that we have to change and we have to adapt, and we cannot afford to just stay in our comfort zones. We really can't. Last year, there was this wake-up call, you know, we go into lockdown, and it's like, really and truly, I have seen now looking back that many measures were really just, what's the term I'm looking for? It was really just crisis management, because so many things we have just reverted back to our old way of doing things. Not entirely, but I can see how the mindset just kind of goes back into comfort. And I really don't know what it's going to take to shake those people who are still not recognizing that you have to do things differently. You have to diversify, right? You have to not just give up entirely your current way of doing things, but you have to start looking at other ways of doing things. And in this episode, we talk about digital products mainly, but I would say some of us could even really take our service-based businesses and see how we can take it online, right? For some of us, it's not possible to execute our services digitally because it's in person. That's where the digital products come in. And then some of us are in fields where we can really double down on online. And that honestly really just means that you need to expand your current target market. So as much as possible, look at digital products, look at your services and how you can make that more digital. And yeah, that is my little rant today as I introduce the podcast today on, you know, your business needs a digital product. Here's why, featuring Krista Forbes. So without any further delay, let's get to it. Hey, Krista, thank you for being a guest today on Tea Time. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
I am good. And how are you? Well, you know, this is tea time. So what are you drinking? What is in your cup?
So usually I start my day with peppermint tea. I remember in college, I used to like bring around a box of peppermint tea with me because I always had to have it on me. But today it's actually a natural fruit punch juice from, I'm not sure which brand it is, but I have been in Jamaica for the past few months and this is all I've had in my fridge. So that's what I'm drinking this morning.
That sounds good. All right. Well, that is actually so perfect that you mention, you know, your time in Jamaica. Like, tell us a little bit about who you are and why you're in Jamaica, like how you ended up there and a bit about your story. And I know that's a lot of questions, but how has it been?
So I am a service business coach as well as a marketing and sales strategist. I help online service business owners essentially create products and services that sell, as well as create the systems that sell their products and services on autopilot to help them scale. But essentially, I have been in Jamaica since October. It's always been a dream of mine to move back to Jamaica. I'm originally from here and I have been in Jamaica since last October. I moved back here basically on a whim. However, I really have been plotting my return for the longest time. So I was born and raised here and I went to the United States after I graduated high school here. I did another year of high school in the States and then I went to college. And then the whole time I've just been like, how can I get back? How can I get back? How can I get back? So October, the opportunity finally presented itself because I was finally running a company that would allow me the freedom to, of course, earn in US dollars, but also just earn the type of money I was looking to make while living here. So that is how I ended up in Jamaica.
Awesome. That sounds good. That's like so fascinating. Okay. So how did you get into online business? How did like you discover your niche and how you realized that this was something viable that you can do?
So I actually started my first online business when I was 17. I remember always being on my phone and my mom was like, why can't, like, you know, you're always on that phone. Why can't you figure out a way to make money from that phone? So I have always been fascinated by the option of making money online rather than physically having to go out and, you know, work hours for dollars. So I started my first business when I was 17 years old. It was a college prep business for student athletes. At the time, I really had started it because I definitely wanted to help student athletes who were just like me. I was a student athlete in high school who struggled to get scholarships. And as I was learning the process, I really wanted to be able to teach other people. So that's really how I got into the space. Through college, I ran that online business. I ran that college prep business. And I really, really learned so much about the online space and specifically the online coaching space and learning about landing pages and ads and all of those things. So that's really how I got into it. And that's really how it was able to kind of evolve over time to now where I am today.
Wow, that is amazing. It's so funny that you say that your mom was like, why don't you learn to make money from that? Because that's not a typical... That's not something that you typically hear from a parent, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love that she said that to you.
Oh, yeah. Like, my mom has really been an entrepreneur my entire life. Like, she, if there's anyone who I know can sell, like ice cubes to, like, an Eskimo, it's my mom.
Oh, so yes. That's where you get it from.
Yes. So she really taught me that entrepreneurship more than anything was plan A, and having like a, I would say the more traditional job was plan B. She was like, if all fails, then you can go get a job, as opposed to kind of like the narrative
The
that's usually out
typical.
there. Yeah, of oh, you can, you know, you
Get a safe
can.
job first, and while you
Yes.
have the job, work on the business on the side, and don't leave your job until you,
Yeah, my mom was definitely she got she I think since in my entire life she maybe had one job that I knew of, and it was for like a few weeks at most. That just wasn't her thing, and like she really made things happen just by, you know, knowing how to sell and knowing what to sell and who to sell it to. So she really taught me from early that you can sell just about anything. But the thing with her is she was always selling physical products, and I saw how difficult that be could be sometimes between inventory and, you know, kind of like the
Oh,
logistics.
yes.
And for me, I was just like, okay, I love the message, so I'm definitely going to go into entrepreneurship. That is definitely going to be my plan A. I can get a job later. But physical products are not it for me. Like, I couldn't do it.
I
So I
love
definitely,
it.
yes. Yeah, so I stuck with the more online business, online service business, digital product type of thing, rather than going with selling physical products online.
Wow, I love that. So here's my thing with physical products. Like I used to do wedding invitations at a point in time. My first online business was really like jewelry, graphic t-shirts, because you know my background is graphic design. So that was my way of like monetizing my skill set. But I realized really quickly that that's just too much. Like there's just too much logistics of getting things, stocking things, the overheads of a physical product. So to be quite honest, like I don't even really like that type of business model. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it if that's something that you like to do, but oftentimes people come in my Instagram DMs and they want to work with me to get like a website, and they're interested in my services, you know, to help them figure things out and build their brand. But you know, when I hear it's a physical product and I hear their problems, in my mind it's like I wouldn't even bother. And it's like I can't tell people don't do that business because it's not something I resonate with. It's just that I'm not the coach or strategist for you. You need to go to a strategist whose area is physical products, because I'm
Yeah.
not about that life.
I am not about that life. Like, I have had people come to me for physical products, and I'm just like, I couldn't help you. I don't want to help you. I don't want to help with physical products. Like, I don't even want to get into that. Like, I literally tweeted this morning that, like, one of my favorite CEOs on Instagram is a boutique owner, and her boutique does like numbers. But I also literally see how much she has to go through between labels and
Oh,
returns
yeah.
and packaging and sourcing the inventory. And I'm just like, I mean, I made a digital product last week with Zoom and Canva, and it's also doing good numbers. So I'm gonna stay in my lane and I'll live
Lane.
through her, right? I'll live through her my physical product dreams.
Everybody has their thing, and you just have to know what your lane is and own it.
Basically.
And especially like coming from the Caribbean as well, it's like it gets even more challenging. It gets a little more challenging because then even shipping outside, like you can't even tell people. I mean, you can, like, yeah, you can have a global business, blah, 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 blah. But the fact is that there are limitations if you are shipping from the Caribbean. So you could
Yes.
have that business from the Caribbean, but your shipping needs to be shipping out of the US. You need to hook up with a family member, something, because the logistics, it's just not that feasible.
Yeah, so which is why I 100% recommend for people in our region, definitely go the digital products way if you can. And this does not mean drop shipping, because again, I mean, it could mean drop shipping. I don't know much about the industry, so I cannot recommend it, but I definitely recommend the as little logistics as possible. What you don't want to do is kind of put yourself in a position where you have to like contend with, okay, what if there's shipping delays, or what if, like, you know, different measures are in place that just make it very difficult to do business from the Caribbean. So I definitely recommend digital products.
So what would you say are some other benefits of a digital product that you haven't mentioned yet?
So far I've mentioned just like in a way I've mentioned the margins, but I do really appreciate the margins of digital products. So typically what you tend to pay for with digital products is you are definitely going to pay for the platform that you're going to be using to sell. So whether that's Shopify or SamCart or Gumroad, I don't think you pay for Gumroad, but I think there's like a fee or something like that. But you're gonna have to pay for the platform that you're gonna be using. However, that is not a the cost of those platforms tend to be less than probably like $50 or even $30 a month for like the most basic ones. So you're not gonna have an issue with kind of trying to figure out, okay, what are my margins? Am I making at least 20% on this product or this individual product, you know, based on my buying cost and then my selling cost? Like, you really have to contend with the cost of the platform that you're going to be using. You do not need a website, so you don't have to think about website hosting and all that stuff. It really is up to you. Can use the same platform that you're going to be using to have people check out. There is also, you're going to need Zoom. But there's a free version of Zoom. I do have the paid version, which is about $14.99 per month. But for a free version of Zoom, if you're just gonna record your, if you're just gonna record your, if you're gonna do like a class or a training or something, like you can, I think they give you unlimited time if it's just, you know, you or like maybe one other person on there. So there's
Yeah,
the
it's
cost
one
of the platform.
unlimited time for one person. Once it's more than two people on the call, there's a limit of 45 minutes.
There's a limit of 45 minutes. So the Zoom is going to be free. The platform that you're going to be using definitely does have a monthly fee, so people do have to be prepared for that. And then what else is there that I would have used? I've used Canva. So there's a free version, there's a pro version. The pro version is about $12 a month. I do use the pro version. And then I do use an email software just because I do have, like for one of my products, I do have a 7-day like email challenge that people automatically get enrolled in. So I use
Okay.
an email platform that's about $29 a month. But ultimately, that is pretty much everything. And I'm not running ads. I'm using Instagram to promote. So ultimately, my expenses are less than, I would say, $100 a month, about even probably even less than $75 a month, depending on like if I want to use a free version or the pro version of something. But all of these platforms are super accessible and they are super easy to use, which is also a huge benefit. So not only do you have really great margins where if you create a product once, you pretty much probably may need to sell, depending on your price point, you may need to just sell one product to cover all of your monthly expenses, and everything after that is profit, right? So that's one of the benefits. Another benefit, again, is kind of what I just touched on, which is it is super simple to create something once and profit from it again and again and again. So with physical products, you tend to have to, like, of course, have inventory. If you're going to sell sweatpants, you need to make sure that you have enough sweatpants for people to buy. But when it comes to digital products, how many units you can sell is really up to you.
I love
Or how
that.
many units you want to sell is completely up to you. You don't really have to think about inventory because once you create it once, there it is. Like it's there, you know, at this point, like you just have to share the link with people and you're good. So I would say those are the biggest benefits of digital products, just their scalability, their margins. It's easy to kind of create one very simply. Like you really just need either a video software, which can be Zoom, or you need like a graphic creation type, content creation type of software, which is Canva, and you can start making money.
Oh yeah, I just love the digital age. I love online business as a service provider because you really don't need a lot until you start to grow and you want to automate certain things. And you know, you just want the premium features to make your life more efficient, but you really don't have to start with the bells and whistles in the beginning stages. You just need the basics, and the free versions will get you by. Now, as speaking of free versions like Canva, I was on the free version for a very long time and I held off on doing the trial because I felt like I didn't want to like use it up. But then I was doing a graphic design mini course early on in the pandemic, and I was like, okay, well, I need to have the paid version to really understand the full aspect of Canva, and I could show people different things. I have not turned back since. And I used to be a Canva snob. As a graphic designer, like, I would feel like you were cursing me if you told me about, like there's one time a fellow entrepreneur was like, oh, Canva has this new feature. I thought you'd be interested. I was like, what? I don't use Canva. But then I realized by using it that, oh, this is faster. I'm totally wasting my time with Adobe Illustrator. Like, I would use the professional software for clients because they want that custom work and whatnot. But why do I need to give myself extra work when I'm just creating my own marketing graphics in my business? So hell yes, use Canva. And I just haven't turned back. So Canva is amazing, and inventory, like, you just have to decide how much you want to sell or when the cart closes. Like, okay, the cart closes, so that's it. Like, the stress of inventory, I just love that you don't have to like worry and always keep track of how much you have in stock.
I don't want to. Or the extra steps. So even after you sell with digital, with physical products, sorry, you still have to package them up, like those pictures where, like, you know, those CEOs are like, you know, sitting on all the mountains of boxes.
Yeah, and it looks great.
It looks great, but like somebody had to put those things in boxes. Somebody had to put those labels on. Somebody, like, it's in a big box, but like you had to get them into smaller packages, whatever you're selling. You had to, like, you know, put the bubble wrap in there. So you have to buy bubble
And the
wrap.
thing is, it looks so attractive on TikTok. Like, when it's like, oh, wow, that's really lovely packaging, but I don't want any part of it. Like, I just love and appreciate the videos, but I do not, I'm not interested.
Yeah, because that's it. Something we didn't even talk about. Like, there's inventory, but like you gotta package it in something. So you need to buy the bubble wrap. You need to
That's
buy
another, yeah, that cost too.
the boxes that you're gonna come in, and if you have like something that needs to go in a box, or like you need to buy the bags that you're gonna put them in. If you're selling like clothes or something, if you're selling shoes, you need to have the boxes and the paper. Like, honestly, I'm gonna stick to my digital products that I'm used to, and I'm not gonna go chasing any like waterfalls or anything around here.
Amen, sis. Okay, so you mentioned Instagram to market, and I know Instagram is all the rave, and everybody's kind of like obsessed with Instagram to make money to the point where, obviously, like, if this is something that everybody wants to tap into, then there is also a level of frustration. What tips, tricks, guidelines would you like to share around selling on Instagram? Because you've been super successful with that.
Selling on Instagram. So if you asked me years ago if that was possible, I'd have said no. Like, we've all been on Instagram for a while, right? And it's only started recently or it's only recently that people have been starting to realize that like everyday people can start selling on Instagram. You do not have to be an influencer with like 800,000 followers or brand deals or whatever to start selling on Instagram. For the longest time, people thought they had to like post for pictures and be ambassadors to make money on Instagram. Now people are actually seeing that you can grow an audience and you can sell them the products that you want to sell them and they will buy. You just have to be now strategic about it. So in terms of tips that I would give for marketing on Instagram and selling on Instagram, is to first don't necessarily consider it selling, consider it like serving, right? I think that's the first thing.
Oh, I love that. I've said that before in the past, and it's such a good reminder.
Yes.
Service.
Yes. So it's not selling, it's service, regardless of what you're selling. You could be selling tea, you could be selling handbags, you could be selling shoes, you could be selling digital products and courses. Doesn't really matter. Think of it as more serving than selling, right? So if we're going towards the more info product type of space, which is the space that I'm in, and that's the one that I speak on mostly, if we're talking about info products like courses, ebooks, classes, training, stuff like that, if we're talking about that, definitely want to think about you want to think about selling as serving your audience. Figuring out what struggle is your audience having and then trying to create solutions for their problems. So with that being said, that brings me to my next point, where I always suggest going super niche or granular or targeted with your audience. So a lot of people are just like, oh, my products are not selling. And they're just like, well, I have 5,000 followers. I'm trying to grow my followers. That's why I'm not making any money. And when you kind of take a look at like who they're following or who they're creating content for, you don't really know. And the thing about it is that when you don't know who you're selling to, or you think you're selling to everyone, then your customers know that you're confused. And then your customers are also going to be confused by your messaging, so they won't buy. Confused minds do not buy. So getting super granular about who you're actually trying to serve is probably one of the best ways to start attracting people who will want to buy from you. And honestly, that brings me to my third point. So after you now have picked your audience and you are getting clear on what their struggles are and what their problems are, then you want to create, like I said, you want to create a product that will solve problems for them. And it can be short-term problems, it can be long-term problems, depending on the product that you create. But I definitely say create some sort of product that solves a problem. And people think that, okay, how do I do that? How do I know, like, if it's not a physical product, like if I'm following moms, why would I not try to sell them like a knife set? Well, moms have other problems, or moms have like other struggles. If you are
so true,
right? Oh yes, of course. Sorry. So you know, moms have different problems. So I had somebody ask me recently. They're just like, okay, I don't want a business, but I still want to sell on Instagram. What can I do? And I'm just like, well, start with what you're good at already. And this could
be, of course.
Yeah, right. So this could be, this person was really good at cooking and they actually sold food on the weekend in their community. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, if you're already selling food, of course, that is not, you know, it's not international. We can't really package that because you'd have to freeze it. You'd have to do all the crazy stuff. Again, logistics problems. However, right. Why not sell your recipes? Right.
Exactly so what I was thinking.
Yes. Sell your recipes. So now you know you can cook. You know that that's your area of expertise. I cannot cook. If I could cook, I would have a Jamaican cookbook right now. Right.
Wait. Before you continue, right? I actually wanted to say that we always, as Caribbean people, our first business idea, you know what? I'm going to sell some food. Like, we always want to sell food, but we don't think to tap into the money that's online, as you say, internet money. Like, our cuisine is so unique, and we could be just selling courses on how to cook our food, the recipes. Like, there's just so much you could do from that perspective, and we're not tapping into it. And then we complain about the economy and people have no money where I am. Like, well, then don't focus only on your local area. Tap into the global economy. People want our food. They want to taste it.
Exactly. And people want to know how to cook it, how to make it, right? Like, there are people who are obsessed with Jamaican recipes and would love to learn how to make them, because the only time they do have Jamaican food is when they kind of find a Jamaican restaurant, kind of like a corner place. But it's like, what if you don't have one of those? Or what if you, like, you know, what if somebody wants to like infuse that into like their family meals, because like they cook for their family all the time, like somebody who's really enthusiastic about just trying different meals. So I think that's the limitation that a lot of people have, especially when we're local. We think that we only can serve local people because we've never thought about selling online. And it's also very difficult for us to imagine how to even build an audience of people who are not local. We think that we have to be these big celebrities to build an audience that is not necessarily local. And I can talk about that later in terms of a strategy that I have for growing your audience with people who are not necessarily in your physical location.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask. Yes, I was going to let you finish with your Instagram tips. That'll be the bonus Instagram tip afterwards.
Exactly. So that is, this person, same, going back to this person who wanted to cook, I was just like, why not create a cookbook? And so think about it in the context of like, you know how to cook, you want to create a cookbook. That's awesome. That's the product, right? Jamaican recipes. Awesome. Or, you know, Trini recipes or Trinidadian recipes, right? But now you need to figure out who to sell it to. What you don't want to do is just, you know, amass a bunch of followers and try to sell them this product. You are going to see sales highly likely just because of the rule of like numbers and conversions in general. However, if you want to see consistent sales and if you actually want to have this be a viable income source for you, you have to get really targeted with your audience. So think about the people that would want a cookbook. Chances are your grandma's not going to want a cookbook from you because, well, she loves you, but your grandma's friend's not going to want a cookbook from you because she already know how to cook. Chances are your recipes mm-hmm. might not be good as hers, to be honest, like just based on wisdom and like, you know, years of experience, your recipe may not be as great as hers. So she probably won't buy from you. But do you know who could potentially want your cookbook? A mom in Connecticut who loves cooking for her family and went to Jamaica that one time and had great jerk chicken and would love for her family to taste it and would also love to try her skills out and see if she could make a really cool jerk chicken recipe or if she could make a nice stew chicken or oxtail recipe, right?
Oh my God, it's so funny that you mentioned Connecticut because when I'm in Connecticut with my dad, the only thing Caribbean we could find is Jamaican. Right. Exactly. And nothing is wrong with that, but it's even that is rare to find.
Yeah.
You know, so you make such a good point.
Mm-hmm. So get really, really niche. Figure out exactly who you want to sell to. And it might seem like, oh, I need to go after everybody so to increase the likelihood that I'll get a sale. But with the online space, because it's so vast and there's so much competition, you will win by targeting a specific group of people and growing your audience with a specific group of people, which brings me to my final tip, which is being intentional about growing your audience. So what you want to do is not only do you want to make sure that you are connecting with people who could potentially be your target audience intentionally, but you also want to make sure that you're putting out content that your target audience will enjoy. So if we're still staying on this cookbook topic, if you have this cookbook, the content that you put out is you put out pictures consistently of your meals looking tasty, right? If you have a cookbook, mm-hmm. you want to put out, you know, videos.
Stories.
Exactly. Videos of you actually putting up, you know, creating the food. So
grocery shopping.
Grocery shopping. So behind the scenes, grocery shopping. And then even more than that, you can like have, you know, quick recipes because you never know if the people that you're targeting. So let's just say you're targeting moms who enjoy cooking for their families. You don't know if they want a quick recipe or if they want like a gourmet Caribbean special quick, occasion recipe.
Quick right? will always be relevant to a lot of people. So like if yes. you're being very specific, like that's going to resonate with the moms, but it also resonates with working people.
Exactly.
You know, because one of the things that I used to binge watch a lot in my early 20s was Rachel Ray's, I think it was 5-minute meals or 20-minute meals. Or it was 30-minute meals. And I love that because I was also working a job and I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is really helpful. I love her meals. They're so tasty. She's hilarious. And I could just whip up something so delicious in just 30 minutes. It was just so entertaining to watch while learning at the same time.
I'm definitely going to look that up because 30-minute meals sound like exactly what I need in my life because yeah. it's not it for me. So I'll definitely check her out. But that's exactly it. So quick might be something that you might want to focus on. So instead of trying to create like gourmet meals and, you know, breakfast meals or whatever, quick dinner recipes. And that's all you do on your page. And you can create... The content that you create is around that. So let's just say you only know how to make 4 meals. All right, well, you might want to learn some more because you're about to put all this stuff in a cookbook. So you might want to like figure out, okay, what are quick recipes that I can teach people and just plan out your content and consistently put it out there and have people who are in your target audience engage with that content and be like, oh, you know, how did you do this? What's the recipe? What's the recipe? What's the recipe? And eventually people ask you enough, what's the recipe? You say, well, hey, I got a cookbook and it mm-hmm. is $30. And inside this cookbook, I will have 30 quick Caribbean flavored, you know, recipes to spice up your dinner life for you and your family or whatever. I make it super enticing. Mm-hmm. And now you are this Instagram chef without having any type of restaurant, without having any type of food service. So you don't need a food handler's license because you're only handling food for yourself. You're cooking for you, right? So ultimately, you're going to eat this afterward, right? So you're really just making money from doing things that you
already do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So those are my three tips, which is, you know, the audience, be specific about the audience, create a product that solves a problem for your audience, and then create content that your audience will value and enjoy, that entices your audience, makes them consistently want to engage with it. So that way, when you actually do put out this product that solves a problem for it, they can't wait to like just gobble it right up. No pun intended.
That is so good. I love how structured that answer was. It hit all the right points. And fun fact, that same Rachel Ray, how she got her claim to fame, it all started with a cookbook.
All started with a cookbook. That's right.
All right. And now she has the knives and the cookware and all of the things. So those things can come eventually, but you want to start with the easiest point of entry.
Yes.
So what is the bonus tip for Instagram if you are not based in the United States?
So this is my favorite tip of all. I think I got it from Gary Vee, so it's not my own strategy. Gary Vee talked about it in one of his videos years ago.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, bet Gary Vee, I'm going to use this. And it has worked tremendously for me. So shout out to Gary Vee on that. And
give credit where credit is due. Love it.
Of course. So I just remembered that's like where it came from. So Gary Vee said it, but ultimately, if you cannot with your content, because of how Instagram is set up, it's likely going to show your content to people who are closest to you geographically, which means that it can be very, very difficult to organically break out of your current location or your current sphere of influence. Very, very difficult. So if it's that you want to start earning USDs and start selling to more US clients, then it's going to require that you go and find them, right? So,
right.
Which is what I talked about first, being specific about who you wanted to serve, because this is where it's helpful in going to find US clients. So, or going to find US people to add to your audience and so they can become, you know, members of your community. So the tip that I have is, think about the places that your target client hangs out on Instagram. And by hang out, I mean, what accounts do they follow and engage with regularly? So if you are looking for moms, if you're trying to serve moms with your cookbooks, then you want to go find pages specifically dedicated to serving moms, or there are different mommy pages out there that specifically like that people already are growing communities of moms. So if you want to work with moms, or if you want to sell to moms, simply go over there. So look for the baby pages, look for the mom blogs. Those are very, very good. Look, the obvious options are to go for the mommy blogs. Those are people who are just like, you know, I'm super into this type of content. Like, I want to know how to do bubble baths very differently. You're, you know, so whatever the mommy blogs talk about, I have not gotten to that stage in life yet to know what happens over there. But like, you know, I watch my older sister, who's a new mom, kind of, she's following those blogs now. And she's like, you know, reading all the news on that stuff, because like, this is her first time around. And, you know, my niece is only about like 9 months. So she wants to know everything about everything. Right. So like, she would be an easy person to target because she's also a working mom who doesn't have a lot of time to make these, you know, fancy dinner recipes. So that's the last thing I'll say on the cookbooks. But I thought it was like a really great example for people, like a tangible example. But ultimately, like, if you've exhausted all the mommy blogs and the mommy spaces, then you can start to think outside of the box, like, where else would a mom hang out? You know, if she's a mom and a business owner, then these are the people that she's going to follow, right? So you want to follow people also who already serve the people that you want to talk to, right? So another
space. So mompreneur pages.
Exactly. So mompreneur pages. So you know for a fact that, or for almost a fact that, the people who are interacting and following these mompreneur pages or finding value from these pages are women who are moms who either have businesses or want to start businesses.
And ultimately, we know that takes time, right? Uh-huh. So your
right.
cookbook and your content and your page with
quick. We need it because we're busy.
Exactly. So that's how you just get like super, you know, granular about it. And what you want to do is to get them to now start following you. So you found them, to get them to now start following you and interacting with you, you want to basically follow them first and interact with them first, which is kind of, that's the tedious part. So you have to first find them and then you have to start like interacting with them first, because that's how you're building community. That's how you're getting eyes back on your page. If you, my rule of thumb is just kind of like, I will find someone, I will like about the first three of their pictures, and then I will probably read one of their comments and then comment. And then chances are when they check their notifications, they're going to see me in there and wonder, who is this that's giving me all this engagement? And they're going to come to your page and they're going to be like, oh, I think this page is cool. They serve,
yes,
you know, people like me and quick recipes. I might need this, so I'm going to hang on to this. What I love about Instagram today, I'm not sure about before, but it's so easy to get followers right now. And I'm not sure if
people would disagree. They'll be like, what? What is she saying?
Yeah, like, which is interesting to me because, like, for me, I remember, like, even last month, so I was able to go from about 300 to 1500 followers in about 45 days. And it really came from using these exact same strategies. And what I've come to realize is that people do not have a problem just following accounts. Like, I think when we were in the influencer, everybody was trying to be an influencer. Everybody thought they had to be an influencer to make money. I think when we were in that phase of life, then we were really worried about like our follower count. And I think some people may still be in that phase. So they're just like, oh, what about my follower to following ratio? For me, I don't even know what mine is. What I do focus on is how many followers.
Yeah, people do worry about that ratio. And that's something, I don't know where it came from, but it came from somewhere. And everyone, you know, trying to look cool or be like a cool kid, they worry about it.
Yeah, which is crazy because like I have never gone on somebody's Instagram and be like, well, I don't think I'm gonna buy from them because they're following way more people than is following them. Like, I look at the value on your page because, again, when we're talking about serving on Instagram to make money, people who are looking for solutions to their problems, they're not looking at how much followers you have. They're looking at what type of content are you putting out and is it serving me? Is it giving me the answers to the problems that I need? Are the products that you're about to put out, are they going to solve my problems? So they're not looking at how many followers you have. Like, again, these are not, people are not these brands that are looking to pay you to post, right? So brands have their vanity metrics of how many followers, how many likes you get. But if we're talking about selling products and services online, people do not care about how many followers you have, right? So
I absolutely agree with you. But at the same time, I just observed the comments in this huge Facebook group. And people are so obsessed with growing their account. Here's how they select who they're going to work with to grow their account. But your account needs to have tens and thousands of followers to tell me that you know what you're doing. And to me, I feel like that's so one-sided because maybe they have a new account. Like, it's just not that hard and fast to judge if someone's actually good at what they do based on how many followers they have, because this is what I have noticed as agencies don't tend to have 10K followers and 30K exactly. followers, unless they're popular people. But does that mean that they don't know what they're doing? Absolutely not. It's just that people aren't interested in following those accounts. People want to follow gossip. They're going to follow the shade room. Like, those are the accounts. So people really need to stop judging and qualifying people based on how many followers. And I think that's where that came from. People feel like, oh, I must be a fraud, or I mustn't be good at what I do, or nobody's going to see me as the authority in X, Y, and Z if I don't have a lot of followers. Like, people measure their value based on followers, and that really does need to stop.
I agree. So this is definitely for people who want to get into the online serving and selling space. It really does not matter how many followers you have. if you're focused on your audience. So I think that's kind of like the final thing, which is I think that as business owners or people who are trying to make money online, we spend so much more time trying to compete with the other person that is selling that we do not focus on the customer. And this is something that I have been guilty of in
the past. That is a nugget.
Yes. So I have been guilty of this in the past where I'm trying to have graphics like so-and-so. I'm trying to have a link tree like so-and-so. I'm trying to have a website like so-and-so. And after I did all those things, I was confused as to why the sales weren't coming. And it was because my audience doesn't care about any of that. How have I served my audience in this time that I'm competing with so-and-so? How has my audience been served by me? They have not been. So how did I expect them to buy from me? They don't care about the fluff. Like, I have a student who just hit his four-figure launch in 14 days, and his sales page isn't even a sales page. It's just something for you to put your credit card info in, right? You know, there was a time when I was too afraid to sell because I did not have the fancy website. I was super embarrassed that, like, my website was super DIY. And, you know, that's kind of like, you know, a curse word, you know, today. But ultimately, like, his customers are buying, and he just has this, it's just a form for you to put your credit card information in and pay him. But he literally made $1,000 and over $1,000 in 14 days of launching his product with literally about, I think he's at about 1,088 followers right now. So
wow. I love that you said that too, because it's like coming from that brand and web design background, like that's what also made me pivot to focus more on the meat of what matters. It's like that internal stuff in your business. Like if that is broken, all of the nice things won't matter. Like those things are good to do and have and invest in the branding and the website, but not straight out the gate if the internal underlying things is broken.
Pretty much. So if you don't have an offer that's going to sell, no amount of pretty websites, 10K investments, whatever, none of that is going to sell your product for you. You're basically dumping money into like a hole and you're burying it, because ultimately what you want to make sure is that you have an audience that's engaged with you, that not just engage with you, but actually wants to potentially buy from you. And two, you want to have a product that solves their problem that they will want to buy. I think a lot of people skip that step where they launch. They're just like, okay, I have this product that I want to put out. So they go create the fancy website. They, you know, create the course. They create all the landing pages. They create the masterclass. And up till now has not asked their audience what they want. So they do all the fancy stuff. And then they go and try to sell it to their audience. And when their audience doesn't respond favorably, they're just like, oh, it's me. I'm a failure. My product didn't work. And it's just kind of like, it could have worked for all that effort you put in. You could have seen way more, you know, money for your investment, but you never actually stopped to talk to the people that you wanted to serve. So ultimately, you were not serving them. You were just trying to get money from them. But people are not crazy. People are not valuing their dollars and their cents. So they're going to make an investment for them that makes sense. So definitely, these are things that I want people to consider when selling in the online space. It is not at all difficult. Anybody can get started, but what you have to be willing to do is learn how to serve and also learn how to give it time. Because for me, it took me about 45 days to monetize my new brand on Instagram. I had a brand previously that I'd already monetized and I was consistently making money and I made about five figures with that brand, but I wanted to move into a different space and I knew that I had to, you know, I had to be strategic about how I wanted to launch that new brand. So I did about 30 days of just value to my audience, growing my audience, strategically targeting the people that I wanted to be a part of my audience. And then on about day 30 to day 15, that is actually when I started selling things to my audience. So when people bought from me, it was people who had been rocking with me through that 30 days and onward to continue generating sales. I'm continuing to grow my audience. I'm continuing to talk to people. I'm continuing to build those quote unquote relationships, so that as I put out products, people will know that, like, this is not me trying to just, you know, get your money from you. This is me trying to serve you. This is me trying to get you real solutions for the problems that you're having. And of course, profit.
Well, that is so good. And I mean, you said like give it time, which is a very good point. I feel like a lot of people invest in things and, you know, you expect certain results. Yeah. And if they don't see results in X time frame, then they think that, oh, this thing doesn't work, or the coach is a fraud, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And sometimes things just take time. Mm-hmm. And you might look at how well the average person in X program took based on the testimonials. And then you feel bad, you feel dejected, mm-hmm. and you feel something's wrong with you. But again, maybe you need to go back and measure what's working, what's not working. Like sometimes things just need to tweak. But yeah. I also really am saying this to just like be patient, give it time, and also recognize that Krista said 45 days, and that's actually really good. So don't even feel like you need to do yeah. something in 45 days either. It could take 3 months, it could take 6 months, but you have to actively be monitoring what's working and what's not working so that you could change things. Because then what I don't want people to do is 3 months, 6 months, they're continuing doing the same thing, not realizing I need to tweak something. It's time exactly. to tweak something.
Exactly.
So tell me and everyone else, like, what do you have going on right now? How can people get in touch with you? How they can connect with you?
So currently I am working on I have strategy sessions that are coming out. I'm currently restructuring how I do my one-on-one strategy sessions. I've done them in the past and, you know, I'm currently trying to just find out what works best for my audience. So I have two strategy sessions that are coming out this month into next month. But currently, if people want to learn how to make money online or make their first $1,000 online with digital products or by turning their skills into actual digital products, then they can visit me on Instagram. It is at Miss Krista Forbes, MSKRISTA Forbes, FORBES. And they can click the link in my bio and register for my Profit 365 training. This is where I teach people how to use Instagram to make 4 figures per month, how to create products that are going to sell, how to actually launch products to their audience and actually make money consistently online. So if anybody has been inspired by this discussion and wants to get into making money online, I promise it really is for everyone in terms of making money online. So if you're ready to take that step, you can definitely go ahead and click the link in my bio.
Excellent. That was a really, really good episode. Thank you again for saying yes to being a guest on the show. This was really good. And I know that the listeners are going to get a ton of value from this.
Thank you for having me. This was a really, really great conversation.